interviews. If you go back to the Daily Sun coverage of the article, that same meeting, they also approved the GLBT referendum. So, of course, the Sun ran with that headline, and the freshman thing is on like page two in the last column. Yeah. You too. Looking forward. It's your overnight. Yeah, that's right. See you. Bye. Oh.
Right.
We're all set.
All right.
And finally,
only took what? I don't know, about a year?
Well, it's better late than never.
No, I know. Yeah, that is okay.
Do you have an HDMI cable by any chance?
Thank you.
All right, everyone, it's awesome. It's 4:50. I do not have a gavel, so I'll just do this. Yeah, so Gina, we'll start with the roll call.
Okay. This won't be a weekly affair for tonight. Myra?
Welcome.
Evan Shapiro, Giles Salmon, Zachary, sorry. And also, just if everybody, as a general note, we have new technology in that we're actually doing the recording through the system that these microphones go to. So it's very, very important that when you're speaking, either the vocal is right your name or something, but when you are speaking, please speak directly into one of the microphones. Thank you. Christopher Schatz.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Samantha. Related, yeah.
I felt so.
Samantha Romero is about. Jesse Collar. Sarah Park. Renee Cornell. Alec Martinez. Tristan. Dustin. Oh, sorry. Lee Lipschitz. Jung.
Yep.
Jay Kaufman. Raj. Matt Indemini. Rebecca. Harris. Holly Grace. Noya. Tarun. Omar. Olivia. Travis. Dale. Thomas. And Joe Anderson. Thank you.
Thanks, Gina. Guys, we're going to first start with the Oath of Office. You guys all have the oath. All right, so can you guys repeat after me? Like, stand up. Can you guys put your right hand up? In view of the trust the Cornell University community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I, Renee, do solemnly affirm on this, the 24th day of August in the year 2017, to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body, address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell University for all students. Thank you. Okay, so next on the agenda is the microphone. EVP, we're going to be the fellow.
So we're going to start off with open microphone. Are there any representatives from Ann Bell's Mercer here right now? That's unfortunate. Does anyone of the, any members of the community wishing to speak, would you come up to the microphone right at the front? All right, with that, we're going to close out the microphone. Thank you. Next, we'll go to announcements and reports. My right report.
I have a friend here who's part of the Carpool Initiative. So I'm going to present a little bit about the First Generation Student Union's Carpool Initiative, which was a great success. It happened this past weekend. So a little bit about why we thought that initiative was necessary in the first place. It's because we wanted to solve a particular problem of inequity, especially one that concerns first-generation low-income students who, you know, right when they arrive on campus, are faced with a lot of hurdles. One of them being the fact that a lot of first-generation students come here alone. They come here without their parents, and you know, no one's there to help them move in. So this initiative essentially came to my mind when a new freshman by the name of Elia Morelos, who is from my high school, was the second ever in recent history to get admitted to Cornell to come here, and I was the first. So she essentially told me that she faced some similar issues to the ones that I faced when I got into this campus, which was that I came alone because my parents didn't have the resources to come and help me move in. So that was kind of the birth of this initiative. A lot of students have to take the TCAT to come to haul in pillows and comforters. And I remember my first 2 days, I didn't even have a pillow to sleep on. And that's an issue that a lot of friction and low-income students face right when they get onto campus. So in terms of logistics, I kind of want to be really transparent about what happened with the carpool. And so I sent out like emails for sign-ups for students to volunteers to drive students around, new students around. So 17 students signed up, which I thought was incredible. I anticipated only about 12, so that was pretty cool. Only 10 new students signed up to actually receive a ride, which was a little bit less than I wanted, a little bit less than the goal, but ultimately we got to serve 10 students, which I think is incredible. And I got to speak to Elia yesterday, and she said that she had a great time with her driver. So I just want to be really transparent again and say that I came to the SA and asked them to co-sponsor. I spoke to some people on the executive committee, and I asked for $180 to reimburse drivers for their, you know, expenses, their time, and their gas. What I received was an explanation from the VP Finance, which was like pretty well thought out, I thought, which said that we don't have a budget yet, and so we can't really allocate any kind of money, right? But one issue that really struck out in my mind was that I got an email back that said, why can't they receive? And that was the issue that we were trying to address, this issue of inequity. And I think that when we are elected members and we're meant to represent the needs of undergraduates, that the plain question of why can't we just take a TCAT really struck out in my mind and really let me know how out of touch I think that sometimes we are, and that the fact that we need to listen to different communities that have been historically underrepresented and underserved on the student assembly. So Thank you for everybody who helped me. There were a lot of members on here who helped with outreach. I really value that. But again, I think that we should take the time to listen to the needs of the community without judging, and trying to be empathetic in our jobs as elected representatives. So I have Miguel Martinez right here, a senior who helped drive two new students around, and he's going to talk a little bit about his experience.
Everyone, my name is Miguel. I'm the senior college arts scientist. I'm also part of FTC, which is the Fraternity Student Union, along with Myron Joe. Just want to thank Ira, first of all, for taking on this initiative. It's really helpful for a lot of first generation students who come on campus and they actually don't really know anything about campus. It's like their first time on campus, who everything's really unfamiliar with them. So even going to Walmart, that's a whole part of their day they can spend on something else, trying to get familiar with campus, actually knowing where the resources are at. So, given the opportunity that Myron provided with me, to me, to give rise to first-generation students with something I can pass. I know as a first-generation student myself, coming onto campus was a whole different world to me. And I really didn't know like where you're going. I have no idea. How am I going to get there? How do you decat? So it was really, really cool for me to drive first generation incoming students, regardless of how I'm going to get reimbursed in that. Obviously, it's always about giving back to the very people who got to me in the first place. And it's important for all of us to give back to the community we seek to help. Other than that, students were really great. It was really great for first generation students to interact with Upper Classmen. Really, they come in with a lack of education and social capital. So this is a great way to introduce students to training at some time very marginalized on 4.0. Other than that, I mean, it was really great, and I hope you, all of you continue to support this initiative as well as other first-generation fast initiatives. And I mean, continue this year, I hope, trying to echo what Myra said, but be compassionate for others. Sometimes we might say the things that we don't really think about. But I hope all of you just like put yourself in other people's shoes and really understand where they're coming from, what some of the things they go through, and actually be compassionate and listen to the other communities. Other than that, I'm going to take it. Thank you for your time. And best of luck this year.
So just as a reminder for you representatives, when we have announcements, if you have any questions or you want to comment, please raise your blocker on the speakers list. First on the speakers list is Gabe. I'm not sure more.
Hello, this is Tyler. All right, well, thank you very much for presenting the initiative. Given that I was maybe indirectly addressed during that announcement that you just made, I think that it's my responsibility to respond to that. So the first thing that I'd like to say is I'm happy to forward anybody the email conversation that we had and meet with anybody who has any questions about why I did not authorize the expense. To give you kind of the briefest explanation, the reason why I did not authorize the expense is because, one, we didn't know exactly where the money would go. And two, the money that we did know where it would go was going to compensate the student drivers. And the student activity fee money has almost never, I'm pretty sure never been used to actually compensate students for obvious reasons that can lead to some pretty bad consequences. So that is why I didn't authorize the expense. And if you have any questions or you'd like to look into how we can otherwise support this initiative next year, I'm happy to speak with anyone. You didn't respond to my email, so I don't know why you're bringing this up now, though. So if you want to discuss this, I'm happy to do that privately.
Next on the speakers list is Omar.
Hello. First, can I just say,
how awesome I think the initiative is, and just give props to Rep. Valdez for making it happen. Secondly, I was wondering, another question for her, if you guys ended up figuring out where we're coming from, and if that issue hasn't been solved yet, and if there is a way for that to save time, like, help find the funds for it.
So if you could explain the where the $180 is coming from, that was an approximate cost, not an exact one at the time, because I wasn't sure how many people were going to complete the trips and stuff like that. Just logistical things. The idea was that for every trip, the driver would be compensated $15, and I anticipated 12 trips. So that's where the goal.
So I just want to speak to the perspective of the executive committee. I think that this was a great initiative, and I think I told you that in my initial email to you. I think, unfortunately, the essay as a whole, not necessarily with this situation, but every situation we've undergone in the past year and this year and over the summer, we need to be more effective and more communicating with each other. If we're asking specifics on the logistics of certain operations or certain initiatives, don't feel afraid to give those specifics, because unfortunately with this specific situation, the information that was passed on to the executive committee was that this money would be going towards compensating drivers rather than reimbursing drivers, which has a very different connotation. And so the words that you use really matters. And so I'm not trying to say that we wouldn't have paid for this or we would have paid for this. I'm just saying that we need to be stronger in our communication, and we need to ensure that we don't adjudicate people before we converse with them in private manners or in private conversations. Because if we just go out and we start saying, hey, you're doing this wrong, without giving the reasons and background behind why the process was done wrong, then we're not going to get anywhere as an assembly. And this is the same problem that happens every single initiative and every single resolution for the rest of the semester, for the rest of the year. So for everyone, and even on our end, we didn't ask the right questions, right? So it's not a fault of one person or one individual, it's all of us. So just moving forward, I want to make sure that each and every one of us is putting the step forward, or putting the right foot forward when it comes to communication.
I do think, if I understood Myra, that you weren't really attacking anybody for not providing money, but just for the way the entire situation is handled. And while we are discussing this now, I hope I'm not overstepping the VP for Finance's jurisdiction. I did want to say last year, and I want to get this right out of the way, the student assembly did not spend nearly as much money as they were supposed to last year. The student body, through the appropriations committee, allocates the student assembly a lot of money, part of which we need for special projects. So there is definitely enough money left in our budget for special projects, and we want to spend that money. So we can work with any of the student assembly members to bring outside organizations in or outside student groups. We want to be able to get that money to the students who need it. And that money is in our budget for that reason. So just for the future, we are open to discussing spending money on almost anything, because we're here to work with other students.
So I would like to talk about how important this initiative is, because it should be replicated throughout, not even like the next academic, next semester, but we get new students, there are new transfers that are going to come in. I think that's a place for improvement. It's the first time it's been done. There are room for improvement. There's a room to get this funding. It's going to happen again. I suspect it will happen for a very long time because it's deep. I would also like to really bring the student assembly to open hearts, look at compassion, look at when addressing all issues this year. This is an issue that comes from compassion and empathy, to understanding another student's struggle. And that's what we're here to do. We're not here to do BS legislation. We're here to do what students deserve. Open our hearts, because maybe sometimes it's not going to be saying to someone else, so open our hearts this year. We're actually going to do something that's for a change. And Dale said it perfectly. We're going to work with other organizations. This is the year for the student assembly to build bridges and build trust with other organizations on this campus that typically haven't done. We have a lot of money for special projects. Go forward, do these types of special projects like Meyer has done. Use empathy in creating those projects and use the money that we get. This is fantastic. And we can keep doing it.
Olivia?
So I was just going to say, going forward, I think we'll mention there were issues with what the money was going for. I think, looking to say, you know, not into and that way, there was going to be a money for it, and necessarily be reimbursed as soon as the work is done.
So just once again, as a reminder, Walmart, for example, like if you smoke already, you're on a second scooter list. So people who haven't spoken first yet, you're both in that person. So Jyle?
It's great that Dale spoke because I didn't know that SA had a lot of money, and I think that's a problem on like the executive board and the VP of finance, because if you have a lot of money left on the special projects, I think it is your job and also our job to go into these different organizations and let them know. I see you talking, you're going to let me finish. We're going to let them know that we have money and in the different ways that they can apply and be very, very frank about the guidelines and stuff like that. Because I know a lot of state organizations, like my library, we run on grants, and most of our grants have been like outside of the essay. And if we knew about the special projects, then that's something we could have definitely taken advantage for. Because last grant that we received from CPFB, we used it to buy laptops and our clickers, and by the second day, we were already out of both of those items. And students are their wait list for it. So if we knew that there was this amount of money, we could have definitely tapped into it. And I think that's something that can be said for a lot of other student organizations. So this year, I would definitely urge the executive board and everyone else to leave your little bubble and go into the different organizations and let them know that we have money and there's money to be spent. And also be clear about the guidelines and how they should apply, because a lot of people now don't they know about the money, they also don't know their requirements and the deadlines. And I think if you want to spend your money, you have to let people know that there is money and this is how to get said money and how to spend that.
Any dissent? No, then by unanimous consent, this one this is tabled. Lee, next.
Hey everyone. I just wanted to quickly talk about an initiative that started in the Patel School, and I'd like to reach out to any other college reps who may see a similar problem in their school with their constituents. So the Patel School, for your first 2 years, you're enrolled in longer courses, which oftentimes makes it difficult for students to take other classes and to make the switch. So starting next week, I'm going to be working with Office of Student Services to create an online platform to allow students to, it's what it's called, a body-to-body switch. You have to find someone else within the hotel school taking the same course at a different time, and then you have to go to the office to make that switch. So we're going to be trying to create an online platform to make this just a more efficient, easier to use process. So I'm not sure if any other colleges potentially has this problem, but if any other college reps would like to work on this initiative, please reach out to Matthew. Does anyone want to hear the speakers list? No? As there is no one wants to comment on this, if you leave.
So I just wanted to let you guys know, I'm currently just having discussions with Wall Street Journal to get Wall Street Journal on campus. So currently we have the New York Times on campus. Historically we also have USA Today. It was about $6 per student from the 2014-2016 byline cycle. And then it was $5 a student in the 2016-2018 cycle. There were some changes made to the way that we get the New York Times through the college leadership program. So what that entails is, I think there's fewer physical copies now, and on top of that, every student has internet access to the New York Times. Now, this is also like a calendar year access, so it's not only for classes. Now, that means that I'm not sure what specifically the funding was. We're doing a little into that about how what the cost was for the New York Times, but with my discussions with Wall Street Journal, it's approximately $1.75 per student to get Wall Street Journal on campus, and then if we get graduate students on board, it's going to be $1.50 per student. The benefit of getting graduate students on board, on top of getting the lower price, is that faculty and staff will get free access to this, so this is beneficial for professors as well. A lot of professors in the business program do use the Wall Street Journal, so this is huge for all the students studying this. But on top of that, this means that the professors can actually start utilizing the material in the Wall Street Journal without having to worry about financial access to this newspaper. Becca?
So I remember this discussion last year from HatchCon. I just want one clarification. This is online access or paper copies?
It's online.
Online access? Okay. Because I was going to say we currently have on campus in Sage Hall and I think another location. So those graduate schools, would they be also on board for an online access?
So Gabe is going to have a conversation with the VP of Finance from the GPSA to see what that is. Regardless of that situation, it'd still be 25 cents more expensive for just the undergrads, which I think is pretty solid. But that's a discussion for the Appropriations Committee to have. So,
does anyone else want to go to the speaker's list?
Just another point to make, because I know you do have New York Times, you voted on that last year, online access. Would there be any way to have however many students subscribe to the New York Times and have however many students subscribe to the Wall Street Journal? Because I doubt most students are subscribing to both services. Is there any way to get charged by how many subscribers we actually have?
So I think that the New York Times, the way the college readership program works, they do allow that, if I'm not mistaken. The way that the Wall Street Journal works does not allow that, unfortunately. However, they do provide metrics on the users and like their rate and all that stuff. So they'll provide metrics for allowing us to get a better understanding of how to reach out to the public and market.
Could we maybe do, instead of using a certain student assembly allocation, having it be a special project for like a trial run 1 year, just so we can see how much the readership actually is, if it's worth getting it for our entire campus or multiple for the New York Times?
So I think that we can start off with a year from the conversation that I had, don't quote me on that though. At the same time, like the way that we structured this CRP allocation is $5, so we'd be borrowing money from the allocation indirectly.
So the current allocation to spend on newspapers was made 2 years ago when we were still funding print copies of the USA Today and New York Times all over campus. So for the previous school year and this current school year, we're actually overfunded for newspaper allocations. So we have enough this year to actually pay for the New York Times online access and print copies and pay for Wall Street Journal online access with or without the graduate student support and still have enough money. The reason we would want the graduate student support and bring the fee down is that we'd actually be able to reduce that allocation in the activity.
Question?
Just another quick point. We'd still have money left over.
So I remember when this happened last year, and I remember the extra allocation we had because we did get rid of the USA Today, whatever newspaper we got. Wasn't there a resolution passed though where that money was reallocated?
So that was only the money for the 2016-2017 school year. It didn't touch the allocation for the 2017-2018 school year. And that's still stuck in the allocation for 5 months from 2 years ago. Chris?
I guess just FYI, we try to get the last 20 times we can have done right now and say we don't have the capacity available. So I guess we must have done it based on that.
What do you mean by that?
So, like, if you're an incoming from student right now, you cannot get digital access to the New York Times. Because the website will tell you that it's run out of capacity, so you can't get access right now if you're not already registered.
Okay. That's great. Okay, so that's not a problem for us to deal with in terms of like the specific situation. Like, sounds like a problem in general that we can deal with separately. But this would be a this would be an allocation of funds with a whole different system in place. In terms of the way like think about how you have to get access to the New York Times, you have to like sign in using your NetID, go through the Cornell portal for the first time. So it'd be a similar situation to that. So this would not affect that.
I tried to like set up New York Times access over the summer, and it wasn't back then, a year and a half. So I think there are some issues with that. Like I don't know if that's probably our end, but I think those are issues that you should try to resolve. And also, if you do Wall Street Journal access, you should try to obviously how knowledgeable or like how aware people are of the fact that you can get subscriptions for free. New York Times, at least, is underutilized, and it's possible that we have the same thing. If we're paying for it, we really want to make sure the students are making the most out of it. And I do think that, side note, a lot of the awesome applications in classrooms that we can get the Wall Street Journal.
Next on the speakers list is Gino.
Thanks. Just to address the trying to subscribe questions. It actually is an academic cycle, so it ends in May and it starts up again this week. So if you haven't tried it this week, try it again. And then they also go by a data set of new students that we provide. So it just may be that you just need to make sure that your NetID user are in that data set, which they should be. But if there's an issue, please let me know directly. There's also a link on the new website that will take you directly to that New York Times landing page. But it is live as of this week there, and tell your constituents, because we want students to use those. Those are great digital access subscriptions. Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification, Gina. Gabe?
Yeah, so while the New York Times may be for the school year, the Wall Street Journal will be for the full calendar year. That's for my discussion.
Okay, so no one else wants to speak on this? Then we're going to go down the agenda. Next is presentations by Joe Nelson, the IPSAP.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. I guess my fate is in the hands of a light bulb right now. I hope you guys can all see this. It's not really sad. All right, I'm going to show two quick videos to just give you guys a quick background on what it is that I'm going to explain. We're working on that, so I'll go through some screenshots right after. So, let's see.
Stadium with the largest activation of events on the campus and everywhere to manage basketball. Our pipeline helps you through the clutter of the college experience. If you're looking for more stuff, Agnes also makes it easier than ever to manage your recruiting process and your team, or just share experience with your friends. What are we doing today?
And brochures, even any of the 30 million systems that did not want to be a part of. Well, And the people watching is still watching people watching something. Very good. What did you all think of me? I'm a speaking food filter. No, Einstein. I'm not a person about it.
I'm trying to keep track of events. Between social media, word of mouth, and our school portal, and we work to know what's really going on. But with iDateTime, you can cut the clutter and never have to worry about giving out. The best part is, it's personalized. That means it's all about me.
I graduated about 2.5 years ago. I was very involved in promoting sustainable design. I was on campus studying environmental engineering and came on. And one thing that Kai and I really wish existed was a better way to connect with campus and discover things that are happening and stay up to date. And so that's really what we're trying to work on. What you'll find potentially is something I found out in school. You experience some of the same problems in the community that you go into. So I now live in Washington, D.C. We've got a small team working there. And it's all over again, difficult to find things that you really care about and then stay up to date with things that happen. Yeah. And so I want to show you a product that we're working on right now that's in the View for the App Store. We did a soft launch last fall and have been in development for 16 months. So you may have seen it around a little bit. I've spoken to some of you here and there about the opportunity here, but I'd like to address you guys specifically because I know that you're trying to keep up to date with the situation. I hope that something like this would be a much better way to do it. So I'd love to have a little bit of discussion after this too, but I want to go through about 12 screenshots with you. Basically, you download the app, you connect to Facebook, you put in your year and major, and put out an email address, and you get matched to events that are happening on campus. So what we're trying to do is pull as many events as we possibly can. We have about 800 right now at Cornell, which is the largest aggregation in the system right now, and we're trying to cut through that clutter for you by sending you the events that we think you care most about. Among that, you also see a training event, the presidential inauguration. We're trying to make it easier for people on campus to understand what the big things are that are happening so that you don't miss out. If you find an event that you're interested in, you can click into it and learn more about it. There's the event website, the date, time, location, description. And if you hit the add to calendar button, it'll go directly into your phone. There's also an all events list here, so that if you are someone who would like to see everything happening at any given time, you have a better opportunity to do that in one place. And then finally, maps. So if you're interested in trying to check out what's around you in the moment, we have a way for you to see based on your location. And so we have this for events and groups, both for discovery and stay up to date. And so again, if you're a freshman or sophomore looking for things that you're interested in, we have all the student organizations in here right now. Page. Some of the pages are waiting to be planned, some are ready to be planned. But and given as someone who's discovering campus, 10 organizations based on the interest that you're in that we think that you want to check out. So that's a really easy way to just sort of hit the ground running. You can email people directly through here and learn more about the groups, like Student Central. So we also have three layers of engagement. So there's the follow option, which you see right here, for any public members who are interested in keeping up to date with what's going on in these meetings. Following sports teams, Acapella groups, Greg Amitai, some of the other performance groups on campus, and any of the public events or a status that they want to push to any of the followers, they can do very easily. Again, we have all the student organizations that they can find online. And then if you are part of other groups too, admin or just a member, there's different ways of being involved. So we have the public events and the public status, private events, and a private news feed for specific members. And you can claim a group again. And sort of be the admin and push events and updates and notifications directly to your members. So you can click into any group theoretically, find the events that they're hosting, and decide whether or not you want to go or share it with your friends. You have your own personal profile, which is where you put in the skills and interests. And then up top, right in the middle, you see notifications, which is again where you can sort of manage this process of having your members request to join your group. This sort of algo if you go feature, which allows you to share it in a very personal way with one touch of a button. an event with anyone else happening on campus that you've done on Facebook, and to receive a notification back automatically when they yes or no. So I try to go through that very quickly. I'd love to hear your input on how this could support you guys, as well as other parts of campus, in part because we are an ongoing development team, and I'd love to sort of be the student assembly computer science development group for you guys. So let me know what you guys have to do.
Thanks, Joe, for that very lovely presentation. The first on the speakers list will be Varun.
Sorry, you guys are hearing so much from me today. But this is a great app. Joe, I spoke to you before, and I thought it was awesome. So one of the things that obviously is happening with like the student assembly is that, as you saw before, and that I was discussing the initiative earlier with us, is that we just simply don't understand our constituents well enough. To the point where I remember when I was a freshman, Matt was making these really great lists of organizations on campus that were hosting events, and he did really incredible job of that, and unfortunately I wasn't able to match that pace of his when I served as the VP of Outreach. An app like this really solves that problem. An app like this allows us to see what our constituents are doing, what these organizations that we need to reach out to are doing, and where to go and when to find them. And so when it comes to the development of the app, we can perhaps work with Joe on a specific like SA filter, in the sense that you say, hey, I'm a member of SA. And then organizations, when they're signing up, or when they're registering their boards and board sync, or because that's where you pull from, right?
Right now, any public information you can find.
Cool. So an organization may be able to say, like, hey, we want SA members to know like about us specifically, right? Like Alana might want to say, we're hosting an event, we want SA members to know about this, right? So if we're able to do that on a two-way street, that means that the student assembly will be able to better understand who their constituents are and how to reach them. And then on top of that, when it comes, we should also discuss the marketing of this app, because we don't want to shove it down anyone's throats. But we want to ensure that people are using this. So I see us working with the orientation steering committee, and I don't know where else from there you guys want to go, but hearing your thoughts would be beneficial for both us on the executive committee, as well as Joe himself.
Yeah, and I wanted to say quick too, this is a free app.
From this point on, we're going to limit speaker time to 1 minute. Next is Sarah.
Hi, so first of all, this is so cool. I think it would be like an amazing way to like get students engaged and like get people out of their bubble. But specifically, there was another, I think an SA Tech member who contacted Gemini right before school about working on an app that was pretty similar. But I think the key feature to really keep also really well versed in AI was that he wanted to find a way to make quarter cards. I mean, since you, I don't know if it's a key feature in a lot of other universities, but like everyone gets like 30 quarter cards in the beginning of the year or when they go to like a club fair, and he wants, like, I think he found a way, I don't really understand, I don't know, GMAT or CS, but to like take a picture of it and like link to like somehow connect like the tech aspect of it. I don't know whether like whether it's your site or Facebook, but if like if I can give you his contact information, I think like this could be a part of it. It would be amazing just to like bring the two together.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, thanks. The other thing on that note was I was doing some work up on North Campus a couple days ago. I noticed there were two women who were quarter carding for the women's club soccer team. And they kept saying to every woman that passed by, are you interested in soccer? Do you play soccer? One of the cool things about a feature that we have in our app is that we're trying to make it a little bit more like LinkedIn too. So the interest that you list, you can literally search for. And as a group member trying to recruit for some sort of specific like food recovery effort, for like food science or for sustainability or anything like that, or something like soccer, you can type that in, find specific people, and start a conversation.
So my initial points have been covered by Joe, so all responses. Awesome idea, could definitely help us as we essay as well as student body. Since most of my points are already where I guess I'd like to add that consider forward, getting into the student organization is trying to
next is Tristan.
say this was a really cool idea. I think that this would work really well with freshmen right now, at all times, especially because right before Clubfest, and you know, not really, like, this freshman, I didn't really know exactly what the club was, but I had like an idea, and I would like look for a list of clubs, and then like really like a team, like the same club, like about. So this is really great. Those kind of people, I guess everyone else in general, but yeah, it's one of the things. That's just.
Next on the speaker's list is Becca.
Again, cool idea, because everyone else has said it. Just a suggestion, maybe partnering with the Club Fest so that instead of signing up for the certs and getting a bunch of emails, having like your Blackboard emails on your Cornell mail, partnering with the Club Fest and having organizations have the app so that people can just follow instead of signing up for the certs and getting a bunch of emails. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, thanks. And if anybody has contacts for orientation or Club Fest, I have tried reaching out to all kinds of groups in the past, and sometimes they're responsive, sometimes they're not, and I think a personal contact would be helpful for something like this.
Elena?
Hi, thank you so much for the presentation. So I know that this app is clearly geared towards undergrads, but I was wondering if how many users you have from other groups, such as graduate students or employees, or if you're considering branching out into that.
There are graduate student groups on here as well, and then all the events on campus, and we actually do try to filter based on what the group says it's a graduate or undergraduate. So if you sign up as a sophomore, junior, senior, you will not be matched to graduate student groups, and most likely vice versa. If you sign up and say that you're a grad student, most of your suggestions will very likely be in the grad student. But we're definitely open to as much of the community as possible, because we really want to try to bring it together and support one another in whatever way we can.
Jesse.
Hi. Thanks for the presentation. I thought it was a great app. I just had questions. Are you working in like off-campus events too, like Poetry Slam at the Copper Bar or Pizza Night and then hearing and whatnot? Are you weaving that into this somehow?
Yeah, we're trying to pull events from larger sources. So we do have the downtown Ithaca events, but other event URLs, we could, as long as it's public, we can look at pulling it into here.
Yeah, because that's a problem that, like, you know, this is especially because if the undergrads just stay on the hill and they might get down. So, like, this would be a tool for, like, letting freshmen especially know what's going on down in the comments. Great way to do that. Thanks.
Myra?
Hi, thank you so much for presenting. I think this app is incredible. I interned at a startup 2 years ago, so I completely appreciate that it looks really user-friendly, and I know just how long it can take to make profiles, stock profiles, stuff like that. But I just have a kind of small suggestion, maybe, because a lot of like student organizations have initiatives that span a really long time, more than a day. So I don't know if you have like a portion on the app where people can have a specific place to put initiatives, or would that just be like a week long event? Because that's kind of like what we see on Facebook, right?
Yeah, that's something that I'd love to talk to you more about, as well as specific organizations, because it's kind of a specific use case. And I want to make sure that we're getting it right, and not just like a nice little addition to everything we already have. So I want to make sure we build it into the core of the app, so when people are having that experience, it feels right. So I'd love to talk to you about that.
We've exhausted the speakers list. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Thanks for your
presentation. And next, we'll move into new business. So, second.
Okay, can you do that in the microphone? I'm sorry, but we're recording this for minutes, and we need, particularly for the motions, to have it in the microphone. Thank you, Dave.
I move motion to move SA resolution number 2 in front of SA resolution number 1 on the agenda.
Second.
Second.
by the United States consent of consent. Now that I'm going to go forward with that, will these sponsors and resolution to go on the floor?
Hello, everyone. Thanks very much for your time. So I guess this is our first resolution of the year, but it's essay resolution number two. Basically, as you know, the SA has to amend the charter or bylaws for all climate-funded organizations in order to go into effect. And so one of the things that I talked about with the SASC co-chairs is amending their bylaws to make organizations to essentially get help regarding how to fill out the SIFC applications. As many of us know, it is challenging to do this. And so essentially, we decided that the best recommendation we can make is to have tier 4, 5, 6, and new group tier 7 organizations be required to send a representative to the help sessions. Otherwise, if they mess up the application, they wouldn't be able to demand an appeal. So this would provide a strong incentive for organizations that don't know how to fill out the SASC application to actually learn. I can speak from experience, it is challenging, and the help sessions almost, they clarify things, but they can speak more to that. So now,
hi guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our guideline change. They pretty much covered everything, but this is mostly to help organizations. We're trying to get them to ask for help and walk them through how to do a budget. And that's how, once they get the help, we're hoping they'll make less mistakes in the future, and that'll help them receive funding. So we're really there to help them out. They just have to set up one representative, so it doesn't take that long. Budget, the board-taking process, and understand what SAFC is about, since these are our lower-tier groups, so they're the ones that get less funding, so they're going to be more new to campus, and also have officers that are new this semester.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to start the speakers list with Becca.
I just want to say thank you. As someone who sat on these hearings last year, the lines tend to get blurry, feel bad and empathetic towards the clubs that can't get funding for such great organizations. But if the truth is that you guys do have these help sessions that you've had in the past, and people just have not attended and then wonder why they went through the process wrong. So I think this should be the easily passed resolution to really eliminate any confusion for any organizations and hopefully cut down the appeals hearings, which can last a while. Both sides just unhappy.
Thank you so much.
What's your vote?
Second.
There's a few other business or there are we vote on this.
Okay, we'll go back to the speakers list. TJ?
So, I guess first of all, trying to maximize clubs' abilities to get funding. So I guess just like I have a question, and that's, have you seen that like the lower tier, or I guess the higher tier organizations almost always are the ones who are ending up at a school board? Or is that kind of stuff? So I would like opportunity assistance as they're still lower tier. Additionally, I had another question. I guess just a side comment. Couldn't you, in theory, get top tier organizations for such
It's like a tier one organization. And we come into this firewall session. And you mess up your forms and you still have to still get an appeals hearing. Whereas if you're a small tier organization, from like a tier six, if you absolutely miss this meeting, don't get the privilege of an appeals hearing. I just feel, I understand the intent of this, but I feel like it's slightly problematic if you have like an organization that's already getting a lot of funding and then they don't go to this help session. And this almost becomes like an extra obligation for the small.
All right, so I'm going to try to answer that as best as possible because your second question is kind of wrong. But to answer your first question, historically we've seen groups usually tier 4 and below, which is why we specifically changed that tier, make these kind of mistakes. And there are two types of mistakes that we sort of have to deal with. The first type of mistakes are usually technical mistakes, like they forgot to sign their budget on time, they forgot to have people sign their budgets, or they forgot to even submit a budget. And those kind of mistakes are the mistakes we try to make. And then the second sort of other half of the mistakes are more sort of interpretations of guidelines or more sort of like documentations that they have and maybe they didn't understand what documentations kind of get. This resolution is sort of to tackle the first form of mistakes, which are very easily explained if they do complete help sessions because it's simple. So those the groups that make those kind of mistakes are have historically been tier 4 funded. In fact, last year we counted the number of groups that did not get funded at all due to a technical error, which were about 26 groups, and all of them were tier 4 except for one, which was a tier 2. With that, I believe it's reasonable to sort of have that cut off. To answer your second question, we believe that tier 1 organizations. The reason why they're a tier 1 organization, or the reason why they're a tier 2 organization, is because they have demonstrated over a period of time being fully funded using all of their allocations as according to the SAFC guidelines that we feel they are fully competent to be able to fill another budget and successfully fill another budget without having to force them to come to help sessions. We have 3 help sessions so that they only have to choose one whichever fits their time, and you don't have to like you prefer a president or a treasurer or advisor, but in the language of the organization, you're pretty confident that the problem of the organization missing the meeting not really had. Does that answer your question?
Just to answer the second question, so I think it was about the one member who doesn't come to the help session, would they not have a chance to vote any top tier? Would get a chance to
vote? You talked to Michael's.
There's a potential that I think like privileged organizations that are already getting a lot of money in SAFC, as opposed to the ones that might be coming to tier 6, tier 7.
So basically, that's not the point of that club. So if you want maybe to get those organizations that are tier 1 to come to help to get all the help, and they would still be entitled to a budget with the SAFC commission if they feel like they did, like, if they feel like there's some like discussion that they want to have about budget and what we've already made with the team. So they still have the chance to come to us and talk to us, but the chance. The step after that is the SA appeal, which is what you're saying, that if you didn't come to the initial help session, that would be like mandatory, then you don't have the chance after the budget hearing, or if you're being talked about once, come to the SA appeal a second time.
Yeah. Next on the speakers list is Omar. Next is Sarah.
I have two questions. First, I just really support this, it would be great. But also, if I remember correctly, at like one of the hearings from last year, I think it was the public one. I think you guys said that if you were to fund everyone who actually applied for funding, and they all do it correctly, that you just wouldn't be able to. Is this accurate?
So this is your first question, and you're saying that
I said during that meeting that if we're to fund every organization on campus that had applied for funding, that we would not be able to, that is 100% correct.
Do you expect that might happen?
No, we do not. Like, historically, it hasn't ever happened, and we don't expect it to happen in the time.
Also, this is regarding the second issue about like the interpretation of rules. I mean, you said like there are two types of people who like, don't fill it out correctly, and like when the rules themselves are unclear. Do you think you have to like change the rules to make it more clear so that also doesn't happen?
So that is a problem we like struggle with. Like by my kind of organization, we have 526 organizations. So if our rules are, I guess, more specific, then they won't cover maybe half of the organizations. So we're gonna have to have a guideline that's over 300 pages to cover every single aspect of every part of the funding guideline process that might show up. So I think it's better to have a more what could be sort of thought as a because they allow for interpretation, they allow for scenarios, groups that do have different needs. So we're trying to cover most of the bases, and we believe that we train our commissioners well enough to make those kind of judgments.
Motion to move us to business of the day.
So this end, we're going to vote on whether to move us to business of the day or not, by unanimous consent. Motion to all in favor. So, yeah. Oh, so it passes. First meeting. So now we're on business today. Next will be Joe. On it, it says, at this, for truly exceptional circumstances, if one organization doesn't run these health sessions, they may still appeal for truly exceptional circumstances. What would be like an example of that, and how often would those be given, and what do you kind of talk about that was specified in this language?
Right. So the reason why we put that is we're not expecting any of this to happen, but maybe in the case that a group has, like maybe they did come to one of these health sessions, but let's say they forgot to sign in when we come out, or our computer like completely crash, or like there's exceptional circumstances we can't predict that could happen, but that might never be something that we're like, maybe to be able to judge and sort of be able to give them a key.
Yeah.
When I believe Sarah asked about clarifying the rules, I just want to be sure I'm sure Gabe will discuss this with you. We really would like it if Terry could update the rules on your website that you passed last December. That would be helpful.
We agree that we apologize for that, and we want to be if this position is passed, and add that as well.
And I wanted to ask, did you and Gabe want us to pass this today or table this?
So this is actually a pretty tax sensitive matter. We prefer to pass it today.
I have a motion to amend the resolution. So I move to amend such that online online 41, I guess, it means be it further resolved, the student assembly amends the bylaws of the SAFC to include the following amendment under 6.1, and then it would be the number 4, because that designates which one it would be. And it has fulfilled the quote, health session, unquote, requirement as outlined in section 6.1.2.
What's the second?
It's being recorded.
Okay.
Yes, I will repeat that. And it has fulfilled the health session requirement as outlined in section 6.1.2.
There's no second. Okay, all those in favor?
2.1.2, not 6.1.2. Sorry.
I will go.
Motion to vote on the amendment.
Second. Okay, all those in favor? All those against?
Abstentions? So I also abstain. So if I vote 9-0-1, motion passes. The resolution passes. The resolution passes. That's another passes. We'll go back discussion on the resolution itself. When I create a new speakers list, does anyone want to? Oh, also Alan, very nice.
Thanks for being here. So I don't know who involved with the process creating two different organizations in the past year. It is a very complicated process, particularly connecting the organization with needs and comments. This almost seems like it's treating a symptom, not a disease, and it's an obligation on the organization. So what do you think, other than agreeing to a meeting that the individuals in this organization have to attend, is there another issue here with getting this information across without the mandatory meeting? This feels like pretty essential information to communicate without that.
Yeah, so to answer your question, while I know it's difficult to start a new organization, I think that's your opinion. I think it is not that hard, to be honest. But we don't handle the new organizations that come in, so like us, obviously, we don't have handle the new officials and then get our new clubs and then get and then for us, it's always been encouraged to come to help sessions. We always have them at office hours after help sessions all week. We literally have 5 days back to back, so commissioners are always there to help any student group that want help on budget. So it's always encouraged to come. We've always had in the past. I think this just makes it something that's like even more helpful for students like yourself that has struggled in the past.
If I could ask one more question, how many of the organizations that do go through this process end up having issues later and then? If you had to throw out a rough ballpark estimation percentage, what would that be?
So you're asking what percentage of us
has issues with
getting their budget approved?
Right. You said that there were a few last year that
weren't
able to be budgeted at all.
So I would say 5-10% is about reasonable, but I'm probably right off the top of my head. I don't have all the numbers.
Thank you. No
problem. Chaya?
I guess a follow-up question is that if you had office hours and you still see that it doesn't really help, I don't see how the help sessions are going to be any more of a step up to that. Have you guys tried actually going into these communities, like, have you?
Yeah, so we have office hours, and actually they do help a lot of student groups. It's just that we have a lot on campus, and the number is still growing all the time. So we're just trying to push outreach even more, and we do go into our commissioners. We have 35 to 45 commissioners every semester. They come from a variety of different student groups, and they can represent and then help that those students and their communities with FAFC budget throughout the semester and any questions that come up. So we do try all the outreach we can get, but honestly, it's not physically possible for 35 to 45 people to help every single 600 organizations on this campus. We try our best for sure.
I'd like to emphasize that the ones that do end up coming to help sessions and office hours generally do not have an issue with getting the budget. It is the other 450 organizations that do not come to one of these, they're the ones that the problems tend to matter. So that's what we're trying to solve with this process.
I also want to amend the resolution, so a motion to amend. Lines 32, it says of 3. And on 33, it says 3 help sessions. I just want to take out the of 3 on 32 and the 3 on 33 in case they want to have more help sessions in the future. So I move to remove of 3 on 32 and 3 on 33.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you explain your assignment?
I think
think that moving the language entirely without a minimum in place is not good.
Yes, we can amend it to make a minimum of at least.
But I can move my dissent, I'll allow a legal vote, and then I can
So right now it would read or advisor attended at least one of three help sessions. And I would have it say or advisor attended at least one help session. So that we have to remove the S.
So in our actually guidelines in our charter, we actually do have specific health sessions already in place. So it is in our guidelines anyway. So I guess having one health session or any health session is
fine. Again, motion vote because it's redundant. It's in there.
Motion to approve by Mr.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Sign of dissent. Seeing that, we'll go back on discussion of the resolution itself. Okay, we'll go back to sign of dissent. Seeing that, we'll go back to discussion on the resolution itself. Alright, all those in favor? All those against? By a vote of 19-0-1, this resolution passes. Thank you, guys. And next, we'll go to resolution 1. Will the sponsor take?
Hey everyone, so we're just need to approve the standing rules, so okay, motion to amend the title to say 2018 of Lent Series 208. Alright, motion vote by unanimous consent. On the amendment.
Okay, please proceed.
Alright, so we just want to go through the lines one by one of the remarks. So basically, on line 15, there was this weird redundancy, it didn't really make sense. So we got rid of this extra block. And then next, we're going to go to line 105. So rule 6 says, in order for a resolution to be moved to the business of the day, the resolution must have to be discussed at prior meeting or moved to business of the day by 2/3 of members present. So the reason we're doing this is we're going back to the original intent of business of the day and new business. So if you look at office rules and if you look at our charter and our bylaws, the reason that we do this is because we want members to engage in the discussion. And so if you need to move something to business of the day, so much remembered out, or not enough discussion has been had, then it doesn't seem reasonable to vote on it. So that's why we're making it 2/3 of the vote required to move to business of the day, the day that is introduced. Instead of going to the majority, so then because we added that rule, we changed a bunch of the numbers. We also do J, K. For the school J, we changed outreach to external affairs. That's Sarah now, Rax. And then if you go to section 4, line 149, which is maybe a single error change. Section 7, we changed to external affairs, because a couple of relationships
this, and that's everything. So, any questions? Let's know. Exactly, anything? Matt? Cool.
All right, thank you guys. Gabe?
Yeah, so I just, like, as someone who just sponsored a resolution that moved from new business to business of the day, it might be surprising, but I'm normally someone who really advocates to wait to vote on resolutions. The only reason that we didn't in this past circumstance was because we're actually, like, very unsensitive. Like, if we didn't pass it this week, then the organizations that are going to now be required to go to the SAFC health sessions wouldn't know for what week. And so I just wanted to say that I think it's really important that we wait a week before we vote on resolutions that are not time sensitive, because it puts the impetus on us to go engage in the community and let them know what's going on in the student assembly and solicit their feedback before we vote. Because sometimes things that we're thinking just like we haven't thought about everything. And so in order for, if we don't have enough time to vote on something before we have reached out to other people. So I support that.
Becca?
I just want to preface before I motion to vote on this, move to business of the day first, that we should move this to business of the day because there was no actual rule changes. I mean, there was one that was majority to two-thirds, which easily it's unanimous when we move to business of the day. And the rest were all like spelling and letters, so nothing really to be discussed. So motion to move this to business of the day.
Any dissent? Seeing none, we'll go about the discussion on the resolution itself. There.
Okay. Motion to amend to strike line 134. In line 134,
well, it starts at 133.
A summary of the initiative reports will be recorded over the actions listed by weekly. That's not something that we have ever done. I don't think it's very good. One, it's talking 133.
Okay. All right. Was that an amendment? Okay. So, now discussion on the amendment.
What should we do for discussion?
Please use the microphone, Gail.
You gotta use the mic.
All
133 to 134. At the end of 133, the letter A, at the very, very end. Yes.
For the information, can you?
What is the exact amendment? The word.
Motion to amend to strike, starting in line 133. A summary of the initiative reports will be reported over the actions of the served by weekly. The strike.
Motion to approve the amendment by unanimous consent.
Second.
Any dissent? Seeing that, we'll go back to the discussion on the resolution.
Motion to amend line 132. Strike should be presented, strike as reports. Online 132. Because we don't present them as reports, to my knowledge, we just present them.
Okay. Any dissent? See, now we'll go back into discussion of resolution again. There's no one on the speakers list. Okay, is there a second? Second? All in consent? Seeing none, all in favor? Against? 5, a vote of 19-0-1. This resolution passes. Thank you, guys. Now we have one resolution, Gabe.
You have the floor?
Hello again. Okay, so this is SA resolution number 3. We are required by the standing rules that we just approved to pass our budget by the second SA meeting of the year. That will be next week. So I just want to say before I go into this, I don't think it's appropriate for us to vote on this today because, well, for all the reasons I just gave when I spoke about why we shouldn't move the business of the day, it's why we shouldn't move this business of the day and vote on it. So just want to preface with that. Let's vote on it at the next meeting. That way we get time for community input if there is any. All right, with that being said, I basically want to kind of go through the expense categories and point out kind of what we were thinking when we approved this budget. So if you look at, I guess, the last page of the packet, you will see the 2016-2017 budget, and then how much of each of those line items was spent of that budget. And so you'll see $2,000 for administrative expenses, and it was allocated into that account, but only about $1,300 was spent. And so if you go item by item, you'll see how much money was spent for each allocation that we made. When I was crafting the budget, I tried to take into how much was spent of the budget, but also how much has been historically spent, and also how much we think we're going to need for the upcoming year. So I think that what's really important, so I think the most striking thing about our budget last year is that $0 was spent from the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. In my opinion, that's like not acceptable. We should be spending more.
Did the Diversity and Inclusion Committee spend money for a different fund?
That's a rhetorical question.
I was asking a question.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. But the point is, the $2,000 that was allocated to them, they didn't, none of that was spent. Okay, so then you can leave your hand in there.
Am I right?
Okay.
All right, so next is Becca.
What is organizational support considering we're increasing them by not 100%, the number is wrong, it would be an infinite percentage. You engineers out there. And also, I think, I really do appreciate that you said not voting on this today. This is something I don't think we should vote on today, because we definitely need to address the fact that we're allocating ourselves almost $29,000 this year after we still have $50,000 and we have previous years that we have not. We have $80,000 as a compensation and we spend not even close to that.
A response, my response.
Okay, so I'll get to what organizational support is and I'm ultimately going to recommend we like remove that account that we're going to create. The reason is because so actually, it's a long story, but the whole reason that I just did what I did with SAIC is because the executive committee on Monday wanted to create this organizational support account to help fund SAIC organizations that like, didn't get funded. But I spoke with them, I spoke with the SAIC commissioners about this, and it's like not nearly enough money to do any, to make even a dent in the amount of money that organizations would need to get funded. And so I'm going to recommend that we just get rid of the amount of money that we're going to put into the organizational support because I'm telling you, like, there's no, like, that's just a bad account to create. You wouldn't be able to use it. You're right, it is. So I'm going to, if you want to do that.
Motion to remove organizational support account from the 2017-2018
proposed
budget.
Second.
Explain your dissent.
Well, it was a bunch of, there's a pretty sense to it. You want to talk about it?
So we'll go back to the discussion. Oh. Okay, so we're going back to what
We're discussing the amendment.
Okay, yeah, so Becca, I'm going to
I just want to say that we shouldn't do this. It undermines the whole concept of AFCOM and allocating money to SAFC. We give them a certain amount of money, and that's what we expect them to spend. Having this backup fund for them, why are we allocating, why aren't we just allocating this to them directly if this is backup for them?
We would not be able to, like, I'm telling you, if we put $5,000 toward this, it would either get, like, it would get spent up, in, like, on, like, two organizations of the 50 that don't get funding, and it would just create an incentive for organizations to not, like, go out their funds. So, I think that we can come up with something better to do with that $5,000.
I totally agree. It's not going to fix the problem completely, like, but I still think it's really significant. Obviously, like, we know there are a lot of organizations that don't get SAFC funding, and then there's nothing they can really do. Unless, I mean, I think even if we're able to just fund one or two organizations, that's still going to be, like, really beneficial. Especially because, like, we're just putting it into special projects anyway. And, like, I don't really see any issues allocating that, like, and having that safety net there just in case this plan can completely work out. Because I think, like, everyone is going to agree that not all organizations are going to end up getting funding, and, like, there will be issues. We still have to see that.
Joe?
Okay. I was kind of confused about where this money would end up going in the venture fund part of this budget, because I think it would be a good idea to eventually use this $5,000 to expand student helping students, or like the experience grant that Mark does, because I think it could be used for something better. So I was just confused if we eliminate this, where would that money go?
I can answer that. So I would recommend that we put that $5,000 in special projects funding, because that is, and then if we put more money in special projects funding, we can advertise more about how to use it and get more organizations involved in using the money that we want them to use that they never use all of. So I think that we should put it in special projects funding if we remove it from this new organizational support program, shortly as it was.
Travis?
So I don't think that we should keep organizational support just because I was actually one of the organizations last year that didn't get funded by SAFC when we did go to a health session. And I think the point of this really was to show that organizations even do need funding. Like, this is a way to show that, like, there's still additional ways to get funds. And also the fact that, like, if they do run out of SAFC money and, like, they don't necessarily go through special projects funding, organizational support is a different route so they can possibly advertise in the future if they do possibly need additional funding. So I definitely think, like, the previous resolution does help show that they can get more funding, but that's not the end-all, be-all solution. And definitely I support organizational support.
In the interest of time, I'm going to do two speakers and then the sponsor. Omar next. Arun?
Since we're going to start taking sides here, I am on the special projects team. So basically, the reason that I agree with this shift to special projects is that these are organizations that unfortunately, like, didn't fill this out in this format properly, and, like, there's going to be too many of them, and it's unfair. And I think it's almost unethical to only give it to two organizations when there's 50 of them that have the exact same problem. And at the same time, these organizations were looked at in a much more significant sense. If we do this based off of the special projects, that means that an organization has to come up with this particular project that may not require the level of funding that an organizational support does, right? So the organization goes to SAFC for like a 500 level of funding, or like a 1,000 level of funding, 2,000 level of funding. So instead of doing that, they can come to a special project and get $300, they can get $500, right? So it's more particular to the individual project rather than giving the organization entire funding level that
they
receive from the
SFC. Next speaker will be
Giles. I guess the reason why I support this is I think, like, special projects can be, like, very specific. I think, like, organizational support could be, like, I don't know, for anything, basically. So, like, if you run out of SFC funding, especially, like, the new group, which only has $500 a semester, which is $1,000, which is
I motion to vote on the amendment.
Did your dissent?
I think we haven't really discussed a very important part of this, which would be logistics of what this would mean, and the very fact that we don't even know what organizational support we go to is needs to be discussed before we vote on this amendment. So, I want to go back. Okay. Jesse? So I also support organizational support. I'm like a little unsure of like exactly what money should go to that. I think it's important that we have money for this program and collaborations with organizations on campus. I think it is important that we fund more organizations and the needs there. But what I want to know more is that last year we spent $60,000 on special projects. I want to know more around that. Well, that organizational support was that, or does special projects mean collaborations with Skill Today or like other vendor events? So, can you kind of speak to that?
Yep. Okay, so most of the special project funding that we spent last year was spent on the Slope Day programming board when we gave them $12,000 to have breakfast for Slope Day. So that was so if you look at the amount we spent last year, we spent $16,000 and we only allocated $5,000 to special projects. So we spent more than three times the amount on special projects than we spent on what we allocated, whereas for every other line item, we like didn't even come close. So like even if you think organizational support is a potentially good idea, like I only have allocated $8,000 right now for this upcoming year. And I think if we were to take the $5,000 and make it $13,000, it would be closer to what we actually spent last year, which I think because it allows us to help with like a wider array of issues.
Yeah. So a reason I don't think we should do this in the budget as is because we currently have no definition anywhere of what organizational support is. We have no way of deciding where this money is going to go after it gets allocated. I don't even know why we use the executive committee for this. This was a short sighted error. As of now, the special projects allocation can go to any project, program, or service of SA special projects that it deems to improve the quality of undergraduate student life. So we can put all this money in special projects and use it for what we intended organizational support to do. But even if we create this organizational support line now, we don't know what that would mean, and it might actually become harder to spend because we would have to create a definition of rules of how that money would be allocated. And if we wanted to give it to SAFC organizations, we then would have to create some way of fairly screening SAFC organizations that weren't given funded. I think that would become very messy and undermine how the funding process is supposed to work. So,
motion
second. Any dissent? What dissent? Did you say your dissent?
How any organization gets this funding? So, if they come to present for us, how does that work? How special? If we're talking about putting all this money in special projects, how would any organization come and apply for this one?
At the first survey of finance?
That's a really good question, Alec. Thank you for asking. So the way that an organization applies for special projects funding is they fill out basically a special projects funding request. I believe that's online. It should be on the screen. It should be on the office of the Assembly's website. But if it's the way it works is if the request is less than $400, then if John and I approve it, it automatically gets dispersed. If it's between $400 and $1,500, then the Appropriations Committee has to approve it. And if it's more than $1,500, then the whole Assembly has to approve it. So that's how the money gets allocated.
Yes.
But how many organizations typically get all this money?
I would say, I don't have the exact number. I would say right now we have maybe, it was complicated because we gave a lot of the money to Slope Day, but I'd say in total, I'd say fewer than 15.
But what do you think Slope Day was in the center? It was more than $1 million amount, right?
We gave Slope Day a ton of money.
Right, but that was in 76.
Yes, yes, the assembly voted to give them that money. Vote the bank.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Any dissent? Seeing none. Could we have a rereading of the amendment, Becca?
Which would bring the special projects account to $13,000.
Okay. All those in favor? By vote of 19-0-1, this amendment passes. So we'll go back to the discussion of the resolution.
I also want to motion to amend the budget, not to actually change any numbers, but just in the final draft of the budget, it doesn't include the percent over expense column at the end. So
second.
To remove that. Yeah, they're all
right. Second, is there any dissent? Okay, so we'll go back to the discussion on the resolution. Arun?
I have nothing else to say. That was it.
Next is Myra.
Okay, yeah, I also saw the issue with the fact that diversity committee didn't spend any money, technically. And I have spoken to Julia, she saw it, and we were kind of discussing because I worked with her to get some funds for the Latino Leadership Summit. This past April, we requested $200 so that we can pay Andrew Dowell facilitators for the workshop that we had. And I think I believe I messaged Diana and Jordan and I asked them for the money for a special project. And she forwarded it along to Julia and was like, hey, I think we should take this out of the diversity budget. And it was like, yeah, money was exchanged. And I thought that, you know, that's where it came from. In addition, I think Julia gave money to the Thanksgiving Dinner Initiative last year. And this past spring, when one of a really, really integral member of the Latinx and First Gen community passed, we also gave money for food. So I'm just wondering where that money came out of. Maybe it's in special projects.
That money came out of not members of the budget. Though it's diversity related, it did not come out of the diversity budget because we felt that was going to be unfair to not use that money from the program.
I'm happy to talk with you and go through item by item all this time.
Okay. Next on the speakers list is Dale.
As you can also see, a lot of the lines were increased, even though organizations spent less than their allocation last year, and that was in part a lack of communication between the executive board and SA members, as well as committee chairs. The previous e-board didn't really explain properly how to request funding for committee initiatives and what that money can be spent on, and even when they did explain properly, this is going to be a bit of a jab to my cap here. I think our last meeting for finance didn't really listen well when people requested funds, and a lot of projects that could have gotten funding didn't. And so right now we're saying in advance, as you can see, even though diversity spent nothing, we increased the funding because we were hoping that Paris could bring back Sai Chahari, who was speaking for diversity 2 years ago. He had a program called the Diversity Innovation Fund, which is really cool. And that brought money to a lot of student organizations that were doing projects on campus that were less long-standing than the infrastructure fund projects, but just as helpful to students. And we're really hoping that all of us can work together and make sure that we do spend the money that is allocated to go to the assembly for the student body.
So at 6:30, we will have to have someone, yes, or to extend. Motion table, is there a second? Any dissent? Seeing none, so all those in favor? And so this is a motion to table. Okay, so seeing that it's more than 50%, this passes. So we've exhausted the agenda. And yeah, so we'll go into executive session. And anyone who's not a voting member or ex officio, our member, please leave the meeting. Thanks for your time.
Gina, would you like to collect the oaths of office? You have.